right, welcome to Hump Day, Highly Questionable. We got Izzy Gutierrez. We have Katie Nolan. We have sports, not even with a question mark, though. Let's go.
How will you remember Philip Rivers?
Okay, Philip Rivers is retiring. He's the second of the three quarterbacks in that 2004 draft. He's the one that did not win a Super Bowl. Well, we don't really seem to care about that with Philip Rivers. It's kind of an interesting thing. Like, he is now existing in this space as quarterback. Well, we remember him for all the things that we like and just kind of ignore the times that he didn't come up strong. Now, one thing I don't think he ever gets enough credit for, and this will be the thing I remember forever. That dude squared off against the then undefeated New England Patriots on the road in the AFC Championship game with LaDainian Tomlinson hurt on a torn ACL. Like, I feel like this is a thing that we know, but not really a thing that we talk about in the right context. That is amazing that he even tried it. And guess what? They didn't win the game, and here I am falling in line with what I was just talking about. Phillip Rivers, it doesn't really matter that much whether or not he won. It's just about, did you have a good time watching? And since I did not root for the Chargers while they were losing, I got to say, it was pretty enjoyable watching him win or lose.
Thank you for starting off by saying he's retiring, because based on the question, it seemed like it would be something way worse that we're remembering Philip Rivers for. But he's still with us. He's just going on to play to coach high school football, which I'll get to in a second. The things that I'll remember most about him is the arm motion, for starters. It seemed like it's a short sidearm. His entire career, I thought something would go wrong with his arm. And then I just convinced myself that everybody else should be throwing it like him because he seems to not have any arm injuries. So that's the first thing that comes to mind with Philip Rivers. The other thing is just how the antithesis of San Diego he was, and yet he made his career in San Diego. That marriage was so unique, but somehow it happened to work. And then, you know, there's all the jokes about having all the kids, but what's crazy is that he is going immediately, Katie, immediately to coach high school kids. Like, how do you go from being at this level and having this level of talent and athlete and football IQ around you to want to go coach high school immediately? It boggles the mind.
Yeah, Philip Rivers is a guy with whom I have very, very little in common. I don't like bolo ties. To each their own, but it's not really the thing for me. I don't have one kid. And I don't ever want to go back to high school ever again. But for some reason, there's something about him that I like, even though he's a guy that doesn't curse and I get in trouble for cursing too much. We shouldn't like each other. I actually don't know if he likes me. I hope he does. But I like him. And I think the reason is, I think he really did benefit from, you mentioned, Bomani, that draft class. He kind of was the one who inherited a situation and made the best of it. Like, Eli was seen as the drama for making that switch and going to the Giants. And then Philip Rivers got to San Diego and was like, this is where I'm supposed to be. I'm gonna make this my place. And he did. He kind of rose to the occasion in his own weird way, stuck to who he was, and also provided a lot of people with a very good fantasy football team. Your tears will Philip Rivers. So I appreciate that, and I'll miss him.
There's another interesting thought about him, too. Like, he is kind of now existing in a space that Johnny Unitas existed in for a little while, which is the favorite football player of a city that doesn't have a team anymore, right? Like, that's an interesting space that he's going to be in San Diego, because he is legendary there. And in 25 years, there's going to be a whole bunch of kids who hear all this stuff about Philip Rivers, and then they're going to say, we used to have a team here? Yeah, let me ask Mrs. Rivers a question. I'm just very curious, right? Because I don't want to get into what's going on at their house or whatever it is. But if you don't cranked out nine of them kids and you've been raising them while he's playing football, hell no, you're not about to turn into, now I'm going to coach high school football for the love of the game. You better get in here and put in some work.
What does the lack of diversity in coaching hires tell you about the NFL?
All right, so something a lot of people don't know about the legendary Bill Walsh is that he was very invested in trying to change the situation with race and coaching, even in his time, keeping names of guys, putting dudes on his staff. You saw a lot of his former assistants that were black dudes wind up getting head coaching jobs pre-Rooney Rule, when that was incredibly rare. But when he was a consultant with the 49ers in 2003, somebody asked him about it, and what he said was he didn't think that everybody was racist. He just didn't think they cared at all about hiring black coaches, that there was no urgency on the matter. Now, I'm not going as far as he is to say that not everybody is racist. I don't have those people to protect. But the bottom line is the NFL is demonstrating, even now, after the summer of George Floyd, after everybody swore they came to Jesus and understood what was going on in the world, there are two black head coaches in the NFL. That is it. Two of them. We have an offensive coordinator who is behind the best offense in the NFL, and everybody and their mom's got all the excuses and explanations as to why it is that he doesn't have a head coaching job. But everything that seems to pop up every year when they say there's a new trend on coaches being hired, it never applies to the black guys. So what the NFL has and what's going to fix it is going to be the only thing that got them to do the Rooney Rule in the first place. Somebody's going to have to threaten to take them to court because they don't see this as being an issue in spite of the fact they keep hiring sorry, mediocre coaches and having to go find another one after 3 years. Maybe you want to broaden out your search. But why would you do that when that might make you hire a black or brown person? It's pathetic what the league is doing. And us as media, every year we come out and we're like, wow, this is too bad. Wow, this is too bad. Is there any teeth to what we do? Because we're the observers of this, and we observe it every year, and we have the same damn conversation every damn season.
Every season, we talk about the Rooney Rule, and every season, someone's like, I think they can change it and make it work, and then someone's like, it's not working. If you're sick of the conversation about the Rooney Rule, I get it, but that's step one. That means now we've got to figure out the problem and fix it and diagnose it, and it feels like the Rooney Rule has always been this, like, out that should or maybe could work in a utopia, but it's just not working. It ended up with the coaches just having the one black coach that they would interview so they could then go hire the guy that they wanted, which was frustrating. And then this year they changed it and they gave teams that brought a black head coach or a minority head coach up through their system and then lost that coach, they now get two compensatory third round picks. They keep trying to incentivize this thing, but what it is we're just treating a symptom instead of finally admitting that there's a problem and actively working from the beginning to open doors to minorities that are open to white people. It's just the way that it is. Like, you have to start actively thinking about it and actively trying to fix the problem, or the problem's going to keep continuing and we're going to continue to have this conversation and feel absolutely powerless to change it.
Well, regardless of the rule, there's always going to be somebody somewhere trying to find a loophole around it. And I think what's getting harder to argue is that it's not a blatant decision. It's that, you know, Bill Walsh gave these guys way too much credit and there were racist motivations there. And I think now more than ever, the reason I say that is because, you know, we've seen things come out of the shadow and we notice, you know, racist intent or racist reasons as to why they are happening these days. We see and hear people talk and realize that their language is not matching what they actually believe. They are saying they are not racist, but the things they are saying are racist things. And so now we can't help but think, man, are you thinking this way when you hire a guy who the Chargers hire a guy who was coaching Division III 4 years ago? When, you know, Dan Campbell, my goodness, the jokes on Dan Campbell when he was the interim head coach down here in Miami. Embarrassing when he gets a head coaching job. And then with Eric Bieniemy, you just get, like you guys mentioned, the excuses. The, oh, he doesn't call the plays. He just devises the offense. I mean, come on. How many offensive coordinators who didn't call the plays have gotten jobs in the past? But mostly what I think that these owners and decision makers are not really taking into account, and it's pretty darn important for their franchise, is what their players want. Would I be excited coming to work every day knowing that I'm either going to play against an Eric Bieniemy an Eric Bieniemy offense, or against it defensively and having that challenge and just being excited about that, or going to this sort of military air of an Urban Meyer, you know, NFL team and having to have this structure and everything else? And the Bill Belichick, it just makes you wonder how Bill Belichick has done it for so many years. Which one's going to get you more excited to come to work and be organized and play hard for that guy? They're making embarrassing decisions, and they're making decisions that aren't good for their teams.
Right now, I want to say something, though, about the Rooney Rule, because this is important. It has been effective at points, right? Like, there have been stretches and times where you've seen 6-5 black head coaches that were there. Like, it did do a lot, especially when it first came around, to change hiring practices. And overwhelmingly, those coaches were successful. The problem is not the rule. The problem is the owners. The problem is the racist behavior that they are engaging in. And so it gets to be real easy for us to say, well, the Rooney Rule doesn't do anything. It has done something. It's just that now people have decided they don't really want it to do anything. Now, so this is what I think. The best hope that black coaches are going to wind up having, because I had this thought the other day, Bill Walsh and Tony Dungy probably did the most to get black coaches hired in the NFL. Bill Walsh through his early efforts, and then Tony Dungy, because Tony Dungy became a dude that people vouched for, and then all of a sudden, all the black dudes that worked for him got their chances to be head coaches. Who's going to vouch for black head coaches right now, or black assistant coaches to put them on? So, like, Bruce Arians has a staff that looks nothing like anyone else's. Do people take Bruce Arians' word in a way such that his guys are going to wind up getting head coaching jobs? Is there somebody else? Kyle Shanahan, for what it's worth, seems to be really out here grinding and putting together a diverse staff and wanting to put guys on as a result. But for this to happen, if the owners aren't going to do it, somebody on the ground is going to have to decide that this is a cause that they also find to be important. So who are the coaches other than Kyle Shanahan and Bruce Arians who seem to care about this? Bill Belichick, maybe in some way. His guy Gerard Mayo got interviewed for a head coaching job, for example. Romeo Crennel and Brian Flores were his dudes. But you go look around the league, the other coaches are going to have to care about this. Do they? I don't know. But the fact that they don't makes you ask some questions about them, doesn't it?
Up next on HQ.
The guy seems to be going through something, the processing of something. And while doing that, is now going to join this team and have to play basketball at an elite level. A game that coaches have told all of us since we were kids trying to play it, that it's like 90.
How do you expect Kyrie to play with KD and James Harden tonight?
Okay, so Kyrie, James Harden, got to actually practice with the new... I call them New Jersey because I'm old. Brooklyn Nets. That's where they play now. They play in Brooklyn. Okay. So Kyrie Irving is back. He said he had some family troubles, all of this stuff. It was an interesting press conference, if one that didn't always make sense. But, hey, that's on brand. I have no idea how it is that they're going to play together. And the reason is I have no idea which one of them is going to say, I'll be number three. We saw that with the Heat, where Chris Bosh realized, okay, I'm going to have to be the number three guy. We saw that with the Cavs when LeBron was there, where Kevin Love realized, okay, I'm going to have to be the number three guy. Somebody's going to have to be the one to take that step back. Logically, it would be Kyrie because the other two guys are better than him. But Kyrie is the one who probably needs the ball more in order to be effective, right? So what do they become? I think we're all just going to watch and figure this out in every single way possible, because if it's at the ceiling of what it can be, they're the best team in the East. No matter what, they're the best story in the East.
Well, I'll go even further, Bo. I don't think somebody needs to decide who's going to be number three. I think that the three of them need to decide who's going to be number one. And it wasn't until Dwayne Wade told LeBron James, look, this is your team. I will fall in line also, until they really took off. And when you look at these three guys, where you could say, yes, there's a little bit of overlap in skill set because they're all offensive players, like the ball in their hands, etc. Which one of the three scores easiest? It's Kevin Durant. He can score from the outside, mid-range, inside. He is the number one option when it comes to offense. And then it just comes down to which one of James Harden and Kyrie will be able to fill the gaps. Will one have a huge game? Will they both kind of have 20 and 10 and just, you know, the three of them put together big stats? I don't think it's going to be that difficult to figure out between the final two. If you decide from the beginning, Kevin, you're the guy, we will fall in line.
Which, I mean, we did kind of see, I believe James Harden the other day said, like, I know who Kevin Durant is, and I'm willing to be out there to help him be the best KD that he can be, which is a good sign coming into this edition of now a third piece of trying to figure out the chemistry. And sure, there may be bumps along the road, but what's interesting to me with Kyrie is that what we're seeing is a person who has all of this weighing on them a little bit. And I understand that he doesn't have a lot of the issues that many Americans and many sports fans have weighing on them in terms of finances and a job. And I understand it's easy to say that his job is to play basketball. And you might be thinking about the jobs that you have. And you're like, I would love to get paid to play basketball. Why isn't this guy grateful? But I will say there are problems in life that aren't related to money, and those seem to weigh very heavily on Kyrie. And as somebody who always comes on TV or whatever platform this network gives me, and I make sure to talk about mental health, I would be lying if I didn't advocate for him a little bit, that the guy seems to be going through something, the processing of something. And while doing that, is now going to join this team and have to play basketball at an elite level, a game that coaches have told all of us since we were kids trying to play it, that it's like 90% mental. And his mentals right now are just a little bit discombobulated. He's confused. He's frustrated. He's feeling anxious. That is something I think we have a hard time giving him sympathy for. So I know this is going to fall on deaf ears, but I will say this is a difficult enough chemistry situation without introducing that. Be patient if you can with Kyrie. I think he's doing what he can to get himself to a good place. If he proves that that's not where he's at and that he's distracted and that he can't focus, well, then that's a different issue and we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But you got to let the guy try to center himself and figure out who he is in the world, because that seems to be something he thinks about an awful lot.
So how do you think he will play, Katie? Because you mentioned his mentals, but you didn't mention his handles.
I think he'll be great. If he meditates, if he remembers who he is, and he stays living in the moment, then I think he will be great.
It's on his jersey. I think he'll remember.
Guys, we actually have rare footage of what it's going to look like for Steve Nash coaching this team tonight.
Croc gets it. Dribbles there. There's the first roll. It's there. You over dribbled.
It's like Oprah handing out coaching tactics. You over dribbled. Get the hell out of my huddle.
Do you question if this batter should question the other team's intent?
We are going to Australia for some cricket. It's Team Australia versus Team India. The batter is from Team India and got hit 9 times in this game. 9.
Oh. The neck? His neck?
I don't understand this game to save my life.
I mean, I'm so confused, Bo. Like, we're showing him getting hit all these times. Why is he still there? Why isn't he? Shouldn't he be on base? Is there a base to be going to? I don't even know.
It's not baseball.
I don't know if this is good or bad. I don't know if his team is winning as a result of the ball hitting him in the shins or not. What's happening?
Why does he got catcher's equipment on while he's batting? These are all good questions.
If it ain't baseball, why is that called a bat?
Because why is a thing that lives in a cave called a bat? Words mean multiple things, Bo.
But that's a bat. Like, I'm just saying, that it's not baseball. No, if I got hit by that, you got to let me go get on base. I get hit in the face and I don't get to go base?
I did not know they had to wear masks at the level of NFL players to play this game and stay safe. I did not know that. That looks very dangerous.
Well, maybe you should educate yourself about cricket.
Apparently they can hit you in the face without consequence.
Absolutely
nothing
happens.
It's one of the most popular sports. I, too, have no idea how it works, but I will advocate for it. Also, you don't know. India won this game, so maybe you get a point for every time a ball hits you. Maybe this guy took one for the team. Until you guys educate yourself on the rules, I don't think you really get to say.
I don't even know if they call it a game. They call it a match. What do they call it?
Hold on, Katie. Katie, according to that metric, why in the world are we listening to you?
That's a great question, and it's because I've got charisma. You guys just watched a panic attack happen on television. It's like, I don't know.
Do you question if Brendan Lemieux got it worse than the cricket player?
Hmm. All right, we are going out to hockey. Brendan Lemieux, the son of Claude Lemieux, not the son of Mario Lemieux. He plays for the Rangers. Let's get a look at this.
Thanks for the gigantic arrow.
That is a Patrick Mahomes situation right there.
Yo, he's just still out there.
Hold the phone.
Wait, so comes back, slips and falls. Oh, he's hurt. That's what it is. Oh my God, he doesn't. This is like a nightmare I have. This is a recurring nightmare where my legs don't work.
I was told hockey players just play through that stuff, but that guy had
That's
a pained look on his face.
He blocked the puck again. He absolutely played through that stuff.
I don't love anything enough to continue doing that under those circumstances. Nothing whatsoever. In the regular season?
If your last name is Lemieux and you're not going to do that, then what are you here for? Like, that guy knows he's got to give his body to the sport.
All right, so I get that he's Claude's son and not Mario's son, but I guarantee you, Mario Lemieux got to opt out of doing stuff like that after, like, 1987, right? Like, the real good guys don't have to go out there and do all that stuff while they still hurt. They got nobody to impress.
Tonight on ESPN, Celtics and 76ers.
All right, they tell us it is a clip of Ben Simmons. Here we go. Look at him standing all by himself, and he shot a jump.
Oh, man.
He ain't never going to shoot again after that.
No, he's been casually letting these go, and they haven't looked very good. That's been the worst one. I really, really feel bad about talking about it because that's really what's going to make him stop shooting them, Bo. I don't feel that bad.
All right, Izzy. I guess that's his level of intrigue. Katie, you intrigued?
I mean, it's on ESPN, and boy, do I love ESPN. So I want to say yes. I also love the Celtics, but I'm starting to get really into cricket, and I think there's a game that starts tonight, and then it goes until 3 days from now. And so my schedule's tied up, but I'm good. I hope the best for Ben Simmons, but actually not in this game. I'm going to watch cricket. Not really intrigued.
All right, that is it. Check out Katie Nolan, Sports with a Question Mark. Find Izzy Gutierrez courtside somewhere at an NBA arena. And I have a podcast called The Right Time. You should listen to it. It's fun.
They should call this Hoodie Questionable with the three of us on here.
Oh, God. Is he?
Sorry. So when are you going to go to work?
Like, what's
is that
work?
We'll be watching cricket for 3 days.
That's my job. Oh, that's why okay. I'm here.
Cricket corresponding, Katie Nolan.
That's right.